Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET.
Hi-yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 253, we'll send it out to a fellow old gray bush like myself, Wonderboy Stephen Thompson. He's even got the gray hair up top. He came through last night for us. He came right down to him for me, the difference between a profitable evening and a money-losing evening, and he came through for us. So this goes out to you, Steve Wonderboy Thompson. I don't know when the next time will be when we can dedicate an episode to you, because you are 39, and we'll get into that soon enough. Thanks for coming to the show. I am Jeff Chalks Fox, one half of the Dynamic Duo, which is the MMA Gambling Podcast. Well into, we're past 250, into 253. We're racing towards episode 300. And the man who's been there for every episode, who never misses an episode, who I keep forgetting to tell, I'm going on vacation in 3 months, I won't be around to do the show, but I guess I just told him now on the air. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I guess it's good that you said 3 months and not like next
March
or something. We're good. Yeah. I'm like, if you said next week, I probably would have been scrambling a little harder, but now I know I can line up guest hosts. We've had lots of good guest hosts on the show. So
guest host on the show.
Haven't I had two? I think I've had two. Didn't
okay,
So Kurt Chase Patrick did a couple of episodes. He's like our go-to, and I'll probably hit him up right as soon as we're done recording.
Perfect.
See what he's doing in March. And then I think Lucas Grandsire did one too.
Yeah, he may have. That's true.
Yeah, I think I had him as a fill-in one time too when we were when Kurt was not available. So yeah, and I want to go back to the other thing you said. I don't know when we'll get a chance to dedicate one to Stephen Thompson anymore. I think I do. Next year, maybe the next time he fights.
Oh, okay.
It's like, as long as they keep, and this is the thing, and we can jump right into talking about his fight if you want, or
right,
I can talk about his future prospects. As long as they keep pairing him up like this, which is what I think they're going to do, put him in with exciting strikers and guys who only want to strike with him. As long as they keep doing that, he's going to keep winning. Part of the reason why we picked him to win this fight, and part of the reason why he was like the easiest underdog to cash it since we picked Andre Petroski to beat the hell out of Nick Maximoff all that time ago, or Lauren Murphy to murder Misha Tate. The reason why he was one of these like can't miss underdogs is he lost two in a row and people are writing him off like he's old and pathetic. He lost to two phenomenal grapplers, two of the best grapplers in that division, and it's a division full of grapplers. So as long as they give him dudes who only want to strike with him, his striking hasn't lost a step. I don't know about you, but like I watched those four rounds, it did not look like he has diminished one bit with his hands or his legs.
Yeah, devil's advocate, He couldn't finish a guy with a broken hand.
He did finish him.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, eventually. But it took a lot. Like he couldn't knock out a guy with a broken hand who wasn't really trying to win. He was just trying to have fun.
But to be fair, here's devil's advocate to your devil's advocate.
Is that such a thing? Can you do that?
Yeah, I think it makes a God's advocate. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, possibly.
Stephen Thompson broke his hand too.
Oh, did he? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he got transported to the hospital, broken right hand. So he was doing all that work with a broken hand. And granted, you know, Kevin Holland had, I guess, 3 broken knuckles. So maybe that's worse than whatever break Thompson had. But, like, it's not like Thompson wasn't putting on a clinic. And you know, I know you're saying, yeah, he didn't get the big, you know, head kick knockout. But, like, here's the other thing. He hasn't had those big knockouts.
No.
In a long time.
6 years. This is his first, sorry to interrupt, first TKO in 6 years. First, he hasn't knocked out anyone since Jake Ellenberg with the spinning wheel kick 7 years ago. So he's one of those guys who reputation is he's a knockout artist, but he's not.
Yeah, well, in like, you know, the Ellenberger knockout was big in highlight, right? And then you could get the Dan Stittigen fight too, which was in his debut when he hit him with that question mark kick up over the shoulder and just flopped the dude. Those were both TKO or KOs, right? But apart from that, his other finishes didn't look like that. You know what I mean? Like he beat Robert Whittaker and it was, you know, a compilation of putting a whole bunch of strikes together. And, you know, you could say the same thing of when he finished Johnny Hendricks. And like he's never been a guy with big KO power, but like he's been a guy who's done things like this to Kevin Holland. And like to me, this looked a lot like his Vicente Luque or Jeff Neal fights, right? He beat the piss out of those two dudes. And yeah, he didn't finish Jeff Neal, but like if you gave him another round, he would have finished Vicente Luque in that 3-round fight. He would have finished him in the fourth or maybe the fifth. And he put a clinic on Jeff Neal. Jeff Neal wasn't even close in that fight. So this is another one of those performances, granted, against somebody even worse than the two guys I mentioned, you know, Vicente Luque and Jeff Neal. And all that came in between those two fights were getting out grappled by good grapplers. So the idea that we're writing Wonderboy off and saying that like Wonderboy is past his prime, he's gone, like he's just losing to dudes who can grapple him. So give him more guys who can strike with him. I think he still beats a whole bunch of strikers in this division.
Apparently we have a Wonderboy stan on the podcast today.
I mean, I'm just pissed because like everybody, first of all, he was an underdog.
No, I wasn't dumping on him.
Yeah. There's no reason he should have been an underdog in this fight. Right. And like we foresaw that. We both picked him.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we can, you know, raise our flag up here and say, you know, good for us. But like it's more like bad for the rest of the public for not realizing that like this was a perfect stylistic matchup for him in a division that doesn't have many perfect stylistic matchups for him. Right.
Yeah.
Like Sean Brady's a tough one. Bilal Muhammad, Khamzat, Colby, Usman, Burns, like those guys all suck for him. But if you feed him the Jorge Masvidals and the Daniel Rodriguez's and the Kevin Holland's, like I'd even take him to beat Michelle Pereira. Like, wouldn't you?
Yep. Yeah. I definitely would. Yeah. So, bearing the lead here, Stephen Thompson won, in case you haven't guessed, over Kevin Holland, TKO corner stoppage after the fourth round. A good stoppage because Holland wasn't going to quit, but he just stopped fighting in the fourth round. Too much damage. His hand was destroyed. And did you see him? I'm pretty sure he told Wonderboy he broke his hand.
Right after the fight.
He was like, he was up with his hand. He whispered in his ear, like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, he's a weirdo. So
right after that, Wonderboy just started spamming leg kicks to that side smartly. So maybe he thought Wonderboy's such a nice guy, he wouldn't take advantage
exploit
of
it.
Yes. So yeah, we had it at +135, which was a nice hit. Did you see the stat? It was Wonderboy's first time he ever was an underdog going into a UFC fight.
Really?
That's what they said, in 20 fights, only time he's an underdog, which means he's greatly underachieved throughout his career. If you take it from that vantage point, he should be undefeated.
I mean, he does only have a handful of losses, you know, like the shock loss to Pettis, you know, like us underestimating Bilal Muhammad's wrestling. But like apart from that, he's lost the guys he largely should, right? Like Tyron Woodley was the champ back then. He got out grappled by Matt Brown back in the day. Like, yeah, I guess now that you say that, the only one that sort of surprises me that he was a favorite was the second Woodley fight. I would have predicted him to be an underdog in that one. But yeah, I mean, I guess that all makes sense at the end of the day.
Sometimes I pay attention to the telecast and I pick things up, and Gumby didn't. So there you go.
I missed that. Yeah. And I will say I did want to accentuate your point there. It was a good corner stoppage. Yeah. We too often talk about corners who don't protect their fighters. Good job on this corner.
Yeah, I was going to leave it up to the ref to do it, but luckily he did not have to. When should the ref step in? Because maybe he didn't realize Holland was hurt, but
after that round, after that round, he 1,000% should have.
Yeah, because Holland just stopped. He just stopped fighting, but he wasn't going to quit.
Yeah, he was taking the way he was taking kicks to the body and not blocking them, but it was clearly hurting him.
Yeah,
you got to stop it then, right?
Yeah, it wasn't fun to watch. Well, no, it kind of was, but
do you want
to
hear? Do you want to hear my favorite? Yeah, it kind of was because Wonder Boy's kickboxing is so fun to watch. Yeah. But do you want to know my favorite part about this this fight at the end of the day was
Let's move on. No, I don't want to hear it. Okay, fine. You're gonna tell me anyway. Sounds like go ahead.
The judges' scorecards came out for this.
Okay, that's here.
So first of all three judges agreed on the first round and gave it to Kevin Holland, which I kind of agree with. Rounds 2 and 3, they also agreed and gave it to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
Yep.
There was disagreement in round 4 because one judge did not give Stephen Wonderboy Thompson a 10-8 in that round. Derek Cleary saw that as a 10-9 round. Meaning it wasn't dominant and damaging.
Which means nothing is going to be a 10-8 then. I hope that guy's never given a 10-8 out.
Yeah, Derek Cleary, what is a 10-8? Do you need to see somebody's organs before it counts? Because we almost did. He almost kicked his stomach clean out of his body.
Boy, he's of the same mindset as Herb Dean, apparently. He's there for the violence. So we were there for that plus pick. That was a good way to end off the night. It seemed I was missing in the main events past a little while and leaving a bad taste in my mouth, but came through this week. Actually, last week, last event, it did too. But that was a nice hit, especially on an arc hit. And like I said, that brought me out of the red and into the black. All right, before we move on, let me tell you about WinBet. Ready to win money and booster odds, WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Wynn Rewards on WynnBET. Looking to get involved in the same game parlay? Of course you are. WynnBET is your home with their WynnBET Build Your Own Bet, letting you customize the bet you want to make. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. WynnBET has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, win $100. There is so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. So you know we sent you that sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. The I said before heading into that was seeing if I had a transition and I didn't. So that's how quickly I realized, do I have a transition? No. Okay. A man I don't want to see, Thompson, a man that Dan didn't mention in that list of fighters that are bad matchups for him, is the man who won in the co-main event, Rafael Dos Anjos. Superior wrestling, which is what we were, and grappling, which is what we were counting on to beat Inoue's game, Brian Barberena. Submission neck crank to 320 into the second round. I was thinking about taking Barberena as a huge dog, but you know, like I said, the grappling and the wrestling was the deciding factor for me. And RDA came through -580, unfortunately, so total opposite of the main event. But RDA looks very good still.
Yeah, he does. I will say this though, you know, to your point about like, do I want to see him fight Wonder Boy? Is he a terrible matchup for Wonder Boy? I actually think he's kind of one of the wrestly types at welterweight who Wonder Boy could probably deal with. Like if you were going to give any of those Wonder Boy any of those wrestlers, I'd pick RDA. Okay. Because he had so much trouble taking people down at welterweight when he went up last time, right? Remember that this is a guy who has notoriously been a really good wrestler down at lightweight. And when he's gone up to welterweight, now granted he's run into some really good welterweights, but like, you know, failed on fighting Colby and Usman Grappled Kevin Lee a little bit, but even had some trouble in that fight. Leon Edwards stuffed him. Michael Chiesa stuffed him. And those are all good names, but like, he hasn't been super successful shooting takedowns at welterweight. So like, I wouldn't automatically put him in that Sean Brady, Colby Covington, Khamzat Chimaev list of people who are awful matchups for Wonderboy. You know, he's probably not the striker we want to watch Wonderboy against. You know, he's not the Michelle Pereira, Daniel Rodriguez kind of guy that we want to see him against. But like, I don't think he's as bad as those other ones. And yeah, to your point, I said it on the pre-fight show. Brian Barberena had trouble with the takedowns of Jason Witt when he fought Jason Witt, and he wound up winning that fight by a close majority decision. You don't like him against a guy like RDA, even though RDA has trouble with takedowns up a weight class, not against a guy who's had that much trouble defending him. So yeah, this was a easy one to pick at the end of the day.
And RDA called out Conor McGregor after the fight, which is a fight I would love to see, which we were going to see back in the day, but will never happen because Conor is smart about his career.
Yeah, well, and I'll say this too. So I liked the call out too, because keep trying for it if you want RDA. It's a big money fight for him and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, like, you for us, we're like, oh yeah, nostalgic pick. That's right around where Conor should be now, right? Like, he should be fighting those fights that are fun and nostalgic and like will pop and like. But the thing is that's not where Conor thinks Conor is, right? Conor thinks he's fighting Islam Makhachev for the title next. And you know what? He damn well may be correct about that. But at the end of the day, like, we don't see him there, but like, he's never taken a fight with RDA next.
Nope. No. So we hit that one. We hit the next one too. Flyweight Matias Nicolau finished match. Now KO punches second round, 144. Dropped him in the first and then did the same in the second and finished. Nicolau is, as I said, legit prospect, as I like to say too often. He's a legit prospect with kind of some scary power for a flyweight. We had him at minus 400.
Well, scary power for a flyweight in addition to, being a flyweight with better jiu-jitsu skills than he typically has boxing skills too, because that's the other thing is like, he is perhaps even a better grappler than he is a striker. And I will say we handicapped this one perfect in saying Matt Schnell, the best part of Matt Schnell's game is his grappling, and he shot zero takedowns against the guy who was clearly knocking his block off too. You know, like, it's not like he got knocked out 3 minutes in and he was like, oh crap, in retrospect, I should have shot some takedowns. Like, this fight took, 8.5 minutes almost. And not once did he think to himself, I'm getting blasted on the feet. Why don't I go back to that wrestling and jiu-jitsu I'm good at? And granted, again, I said Nicolau is probably better at jiu-jitsu too, but like, dude, you got to go where your strengths are here, especially if you're losing at your weakness.
Yep, for sure. So thoughts on Nicolau moving forward?
I mean, there's so many fun people at the top of the flyweight division that he could fight. Currently, I just looked at the UFC's official rankings. He's currently six. And I think, somebody like Kaikara France would probably be fun. Pantoja is largely thought to have been deserving of a title shot, but with Moreno and Figueiredo running it again, maybe Pantoja versus Nicolau wouldn't be a terrible fight.
Okay, that works for me. So, and onwards and upwards for Nicolau. I try to warn Dan in the next fight. I'm a nice friend. I try to tell him, but he just wouldn't listen. Sergey Pavlovich snipered Tai Tuivasa, knockout punches, 54 seconds into the first round. Ad Pavlovich at minus 215. Is Gumby finally willing to admit that he is a legit prospect?
He's definitely a legit prospect, although I don't like him against almost any of the people in front of him in the rankings now. Here's the thing. I think he's like, he's a power puncher who's less technical than the guys in front of him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's more technical than Surreal Gain. No. I don't think he's more technical than the new wave Francis Ngannou. He's got big knockout power, so of course he can win at heavyweight, but like, how long have we been saying that again about Tai Tuivasa or Derek Lewis or, insert big heavy puncher here? And he got hit with a couple of those return shots from Ty Tuivasa, like just like I thought he would. He started throwing, he started having success, and I started seeing Ty throw back, and I was like, perfect. This is right where it ends for Pavlovich. And those punches just glanced off. But the problem is if he runs into somebody who's a little bit more technical, is going to stay away from his strikes. I think somebody like Surreal Gaines still beats the hell out of him.
Gaines a tough matchup for most, so
yeah. And you know what, too? Do you know who I think is a really bad matchup for Pavlovich? Curtis Blaydes. I think Curtis Blaydes would wreck him.
He's tough for most, too. Yep.
He's definitely a legit prospect. I did underestimate how technical he was, because I thought, you know, like if it turns into one of those brawl spots, I thought he was going to be the one getting caught. But he picked his spots really well. He picked apart Ty Tuivasa. He's obviously got the heavy hand. So, Pavlovich is, I mean, that puts him in the top five, I think.
Heavy hands plus the 7-foot wingspan. I know I go over, talk about reach too much, and the stats don't really bear out reach helping that much. If you have 4-inch reach advantage or more, you're only winning 56% of the time. But he's going to have way more than 4 inches on most people. He had 9 on Tuivasa. So I think that plus the power and the precision of his punches makes him quite dangerous.
Yeah.
Ooh. And the next fight went against the stats that I keep track of. Roman Dulidze.
I tried to tell you on this one, too.
Roman, it looked fine until it didn't. That's the thing. Dulidze came through with a calf slicer into a ground and pound, I guess you could call it. Plus 160 Gumby had it at. Hermanson looked very good until that happened. Dulidze very slick on the ground. He had a slick transition even before the fight finishing one. But officially, he won TKO punches 406 into the second round. Very impressive win. Probably the best opponent he has faced and beat thus far, and he did it on less than 2 weeks' notice.
Yeah, this is huge for him. It's going to put him in the top 10 at middleweight. He was unranked. So to beat, like, I think Hermanson was 7 or something like that. That's a huge win for Dulidze. And, you know, to your point about the transitions, dude, he transitioned between so many different fun submissions there. He went, you know, armbar to inverted triangle to heel hook to calf slicer to just like a mounted calf slicer position, which, by the way, I don't know how Jack Hermanson didn't tap out to that. Anybody who has ever been caught in that calf slicer, dude, that is so painful, not just on your calf, but on your knee, especially in that position. Crazy that Hermanson didn't tap out. But I will say also, wonderful that he didn't tap out, because I had in my recommended plays Roman Dulidze by KO TKO plus 500.
I hope you had that IRL in real life as well, Gumby.
I did, in fact. Yes, I did see some people who just played him by stoppage, so they did not sweat that one out quite the same way as I did. But the KO at plus 500 wound up being, I think, the only recommended play I hit, but I'll take it.
But it
pretty much saved my night.
So onwards and upwards for Dulidze. Yeah, I just checked his resume. He fought no one near Jack Hermanson's level up to this point. So yeah, this is a huge win for him. Eric Anders with a huge win as well. TKO punches 245 over Kyle Dawkins. Dawkins immediately goes on to the fade list. If he continues his career, his face is not healed from the horrific damages he sustained in his last fight. This was not fun to watch. Not just because we had Docs at minus 220, but yeah, he was very fragile and everything seemed to hurt him at a point in that fight.
Yeah, I'd say fade if he's fighting somebody he can't take down. Because originally I thought he'd get Anders down, and maybe this is where we underestimated Anders. As we said, Anders is a big athletic dude whose skills haven't caught up to his athleticism. I stand by that statement. I still think his skills haven't caught up to his athleticism, but his athleticism was enough to keep him off the mat here. And on the feet, Dawkins is so far behind most middleweights in striking that, I mean, Anders put it on him. Props for Anders for getting that huge win, because if he didn't beat Kyle Dawkins here, man, what are we talking about with Eric Anders? Because he was on that would have been 3 in a row. And then before that, it was just those like weird back-to-back fights with Darren Stewart, and he had lost one before that. So yeah, like we might have been talking about the last Eric Anders fight if he didn't go out and look that good.
Yeah, he definitely, I think, saved his career. He's a guy who makes real good money too. You can see all that on my here's a transition on my Substack, moneymma.substack.com, where I have all the payouts and estimated payouts and all that type of stuff. Yeah, he makes good money. And if you're not winning fights and you're not headlining, then yeah, you're not going to last. But yeah, he came through and yeah, the doc is, a lot of bad things happened to him in that fight. That the mostly the accidental head clash, even though it was mostly Anders' fault. I guess it was accidental, but still, he really had better than bad. But that seemed to be the beginning of the end. Even though I guess he was already headed down the slippery slope as it was. But yeah, that definitely finished him off. And yeah, he just could not take anything, any shots to his face after that. Even like glancing stuff or like incidental blows were seeming to rock him.
Yeah, I think, not you know, good. He's a guy, he's almost like a more advanced Chase Hooper. Where like he really needs to round out his game and add some wrestling, or else he's going to keep losing to people he can't wrestle.
If you don't have a chin either, you're in trouble. So
yeah.
And apparently he does not have a chin at this point, even though he spars with his heavyweight brother. And then in the opener of the main card, this one got moved up to the main card, I believe. It was a catchweight fight. Another one went against my stats. Phil Rowe missed weight, but still won the fight. He missed weight by 2.5 pounds. I think a lot of times when people miss weight by a lot, it may be better. Their chances, I don't have the stats to back it, but nonetheless, TKO'd a wild fight. TKO punches Nico Price, which is hard to do, finishing Nico Price. 3:26 into the third round, I had Phil Rowe at an underdog. So that's right, people. I hit 200 dogs on the main card. Adam at +120. That's three straight TKO wins for him.
Yeah, he looked good. You know what I wasn't prepared for in this fight is just how much bigger than Nico Price he looked. Yeah. Because I knew, you know, I saw the stats, his reach is bigger and he had some height advantage. But man, like, he looked like he was in a different weight class. And I mean, I guess maybe that's where the
technically he was.
Yeah, technically he did miss weight. But yeah, like he just looks so much bigger. And I think that wore Price out. You know, Price went swinging pretty wildly on some of those punches, and it didn't entirely work out for him. So yeah, I think this is a classic Nico Price fight. Very hard to call because that dude is an anomaly.
Well, at least when he's in the cage, he's not off having kids. So that's a positive, right?
Yeah, he's got 17 kids.
Yeah, something like that. At least. All right, so that wrapped up the main card. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 7. Gumby had 4 out of 7. On the prelims, we lost maybe the fight we were most looking forward to and one we were on opposite sides on as well. Tracy Cortez versus Amanda Ribas. Cortez made weight and then had a medical issue, which means it was a botched weight cut.
I think there's even more teeth to that too. So rather than just saying we're like speculating. So first of all, they've been really good about saying a non-weight related illness.
Yeah.
If that's what it is.
Oh, and, right. Yes. Yes.
They didn't say that. Right. And they also didn't say a non-COVID illness because
she was in the crowd without a mask.
But she was while it is Florida.
It's true.
So they probably wouldn't care. But yeah, like she was in the crowd with Ribas. Like they watched the fights together. So I'm guessing just like, you know, some sort of organ shutdown because of the bad weight cut. And it also makes sense too. Cause she is so big for the division.
Yep. She's missed weight before. I guess UFC is cool with this. Like people.
She's a huge draw, of course.
Yeah, so they show her smiling in the crowd even though like she screwed them over, but anyhow, so we lost that fight. Hopefully we get that one soon. Top of the prelims was a women's strawweight fight. Angela Hill, is she good, ? Maybe, because or is Emily Ducotte not good? She skunked her 3 rounds to none. Wasn't even close. We were in on Ducotte. You said in the I just said her name two different times there because eventually I'll hit the right pronunciation if I keep changing it up. You said in the Discord that this was probably a step up too far or too fast for Ducotte. There are 3 times I said
it. It does seem like that because here's the thing. In her first fight, she fought Jessica Penne, and Jessica Penne, you know, like is close to Angela Hill in skill. I mean, she's definitely a step down, but she's at least close. But like the difference is how much she stepped up in terms of striking, right? Because Penne is not good on the feet, you know, in any capacity. She's a grappler. Yeah. So like she beat up somebody who's like 7 steps behind Angela Hill in terms of striking. And you know, the thing about Ducotte is she's young, She's only 28. She's young for the sport. She doesn't have a ton of fights under her belt. Like, I think she probably needed a slower path towards the top. So this will be a little step back, but I ultimately don't think it'll ruin her career.
So as to the first question, is Angela Hill actually good or not? Because she sure looked like she was last night.
I mean, she is very, very, very much so like the number 13 or 14 best strawweight in the world, and probably will be for the next 20 years.
Yep. Good point. She is the gatekeeper to the rankings. So good win for her. I didn't give her enough credit, apparently. But I'm sure if I pick her in the next fight, it'll swing the other way on us. We didn't pick this one either. I wanted to so badly, too. And you were considering it, too, because you're a big fanboy of Clay Guida. But he came through, defeated Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman, sent him into retirement. If we knew Holtzman was retiring, maybe we would have picked differently. Who knows? Split decision, 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. I believe Guida won, so the right person won the fight. We just didn't pick him.
Yeah, I don't think the scorecard for Holtzman made very much sense. The judge who scored it for Holtzman gave him the second. I will say a 30-27 scorecard for Guida is really dumb.
Yeah.
Because Holtzman very clearly won the first, which, by the way, if you want to go check out on MMA Decisions, two guys from Sherdog gave Guida a 30-27 card. So, yeah, 30-27 card, stupid. But, yeah, he won this fight. It's a pace thing, right? Like, I think that's what really cost Holtzman here is that he didn't succumb to the wrestling for the most part. I mean, I guess he gave up a couple in there, but like that wasn't the biggest deterrent. I think the biggest problem for him here is he just couldn't keep that Clay Guida pace.
Who can though? If they keep giving Guida people at least in his age demographic,
bracket, yeah.
which I know is going to get harder and harder by each fight. Yeah. He could have a real shot at this sport, that guy. Yeah. So we whiffed that one, even though I really wanted to pick Guida, and I'm kicking myself for not, but them's the breaks. This next fight made me super angry, Dan. This was the start of this is the first fight I missed on the night and started things going downhill for me. Mark D. Casey looked horrible. He thought he looked good.
Really
though.
Bad.
He thought he looked really, he thought he was styling and profiling and really schooling Michael Johnson, but he looked horrendous. 29, 28, 29, 28, 30, 27. He lost to Michael Johnson in 2022, the end of 2022. Come on.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, like, he didn't look awful in the first. I did give him the first. Yeah. But, like, the failed takedowns, I think, ultimately cost him here, and not in the way that, like, they usually do, but they cost him in the way that, like, it gave Johnson the confidence to be like, oh, he ain't taking me down. Let's just let go. And as soon as he started letting go, he was cracking him. So really smart by Johnson to realize that that's an opening for him. And he did. I mean, he looked great in there.
Was it maddening for you as well? Or maybe you were
a little bit. I mean, like, it was maddening because I thought this was a slam dunk pick here.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought we had like entered this new realm of like the really good wrestler, Mark Diakasi, because he, you know, back to back wins largely on his wrestling. But I mean, I think this just goes to show this is how bad Slava Claus's takedown defense is.
Oh, there you go. It's true. Yeah. The betters thought it was a slam dunk too. -325 DKC was and whiffed on that. The dogs be barking last night. That's for sure. JSP, Jonathan Pierce defeated Darren Elkins.
He was not a dog.
30-27, 30-26. I just saw a headline that he threw up after swallowing Darren Elkins' blood during the
fight. Oh. Gross.
I'm sure he's not the first man to swallow Darren Elkins' blood during a fight.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm the only thing I'm shocked on in this one is that only one judge gave this a 30-26.
Because slaughter.
You want to hear the funny thing is the guy who gave this a 30-26, the guy who gave a 10-8 round to Pierce is the one who wouldn't give the round to Wonderboy. Yes.
It was that guy?
It's the same guy. He gave a 10-8 to Pierce in the second, but Wonderboy got no 10-8 in the fourth. Like, what is that guy's... And don't get me wrong, like, he did deserve one, and I'm glad he was the judge who did it, but, like, what... How are you not, like... So he doesn't have, like, a vendetta against 10-8s. He, like, understands what a 10-8 is.
Yes.
But, like, then to not give it an... I mean, wild. Just friggin' wild.
Yeah, JSP looked very good, though. Another win for him.
Yeah, Elkins he's now not undefeated. Easy guy to fight. He's undefeated at featherweight, too. I feel like enough people they keep pointing out that loss to Joe Lozon, but now he's won. He's 5-0 at featherweight. Like this dude, you know, I've got him personally in the rankings and in my official vote for the UFC rankings because like he's beaten Kai Kamaka, Omar Morales. The Christian Rodriguez fight is because Christian Rodriguez up a weight class on short notice, but then Elkins and Makwan Amirkhani. Like how do you not rank a guy like that?
Yep. And he kind of was playing around last night too, trying to get a finish. Like he probably could have fought better than he did, but he was spamming those crane kicks because he wanted a finish. I guess I was gonna say, are we done with the Darren Elkins experience? But well, he's 3-2 over his last five, so I guess they'll run him out for some more because
I think that
always has exciting fights.
Yeah, he's the type of person they're gonna run out forever too. Yeah. I think you know.
Good for his brain, that's for sure.
Just let him keep going.
Yeah, until his brain says no more. All right, so we have Pierce -495. I had Nathan Levy, who looked very good, -195. Gumby went on Gennaro Valdez. Like I said, Levy looked good, 29-28, 29-28, 30-27.
Do you think he looked good? Sure. Honest question. Do you think he looked
good? Yeah, he won. He won, I mean, so it's good enough for me.
He definitely won. You're
there's
right
levels. There's levels to goodness, okay?
He looked good for Nathan Levy. No, the big problem I have here.
I thought you liked him heading into the UFC, didn't you?
I did, and then I got off of him because he's a striker who, as we just saw, had trouble with a wrestler on the feet. Like, he is a striker who fought a wrestler who didn't want to wrestle him, and he still didn't look great doing it. So I think if this was a low IQ fight for me, if Valdez went to if Valdez went to the grappling a little bit more, I think we'd be on to something, but like, I don't know. Do you think Levy is somebody who you like want to keep an eye on?
No.
No.
Well, it depends who he fights, but it's
yeah. I mean, if he keeps fighting wrestlers who don't want to wrestle, sure, line him up.
Yeah. No. He's still in the lower rungs of lightweight. Featherweight.
Give him Clay Guida. Give him Clay Guida next.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Depends. If Guida gets a good line, that might be good for us actually. Yeah. This man didn't disappoint. The Fire Marshal, Francis Marshall. Knocked out with punches Marcelo Rojo 114 into the second round, and we have -165 on Marshall, which I thought was why didn't I put him into my recommended plays, because I thought that was a nice line. But yeah, it was a nice hit, and Gumby in the Discord was whoever that guy is was impressed by Marshall.
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed by him on the Contender Series, which we noted on Wednesday. And he just continues to develop his hands so much, because the craziest thing about this is I had him in my recommended place, but I had him by submission because like his hands got better for the Contender Series. But I didn't think in my wildest dreams he would trade with Marcelo Rojo. And if he did, I thought it was going to be a bad move. And here he is, not only knocking out Marcelo Rojo, but like really knocking out Marcelo Rojo. This is a guy who I think you circle. We got to keep an eye on him because he's super young. Yep. He's super talented with his wrestling. His striking is coming along, dude. There's so many reasons to be excited about Francis Marshall.
Yeah. If he's going to be knocking people out cold, to go along with the rest of his game, then yeah, that's something else. Also, another person to keep an eye on was in the opener, women's strawweight, Yasmin Ha Reggae. TKO punches a very tough Estella Nunes, 406 into the second round. Ha Reggae got dropped in the first round, which was cause for concern, but then after that she just turned it on. She's a fun one to watch and definitely like her going forward. We had her at -325. Hopefully we get some more advantageous lines going forward as well.
Yeah, I really liked about this fight for her was that she got like she learned the veteran lesson of like, ooh, can't take people too lightly and to get dropped and to go through adversity. But then she didn't have to lose the fight, which is like a really fun moment for a prospect to be like, they learned the lesson and they figured something out and still got the win. So, yeah, good for her on this one.
Yeah, hopefully she doesn't. There's always the risk that because the women's divisions aren't quite as filled out as the men's, especially at strawweight. Hopefully she doesn't get rushed up the flagpole too quickly because she's still got some work to do, but boy, she's fun to watch.
I don't think they're going to rush her because her second fight here was, and I said it on Wednesday, it seems like a setup fight. You take somebody who was a hyper good prospect who won her first fight in a very exciting fashion, and you give them somebody who's 0-2 in front of a big arena. They knew what they were doing, and I think they're going to keep doing it with Haregi.
Haregi. All right, so Thompson, Holland, very worthy winner of Fight of the Night. Then Pavlovich, Dolidze won for Performance of the Nights. In case you did notice, it was all finishes in the main card, 7 finishes in the main card, and then we had a couple other finishes on the prelims as well. The 8 knockouts on the event ties the record with 7 other events for most knockouts in a single UFC event in history. So if you watched last night, you saw some history go down in the Amway Center. A very raucous crowd, too. So that was, I think that may have added to some of the fun we had in some of those fights.
Yeah, it was a fun night. Even the decisions were fun.
Yep.
And even the fights that didn't go our way were fun. Like, I picked Holtzman. I was pretty in on Holtzman. And that fight with Clay Guida was legitimately fun to watch.
Well, because you love Clay Guida. Even with his haircut the way it is, you still like him?
I mean, his haircut looked better than Kevin Holland.
I was going to say, if I could grow hair like Kevin Holland, I think I would, though. I think that would be fun to have hair like that. But
that's a boss. That's a move.
Yeah, I've never had the opportunity.
Do you think that like that's this. More of a move than do you, maybe you might not even get this reference because you're not an American football guy. Do you think that's a move more than, do you know Brian Robinson's big hat?
Nope, I don't even know who Brian Robinson is. A football player, I take it.
Yeah, you should Google Brian Robinson's big hat before we get to UFC 282. Because
big hat, Brian Robinson, big hat. That's not his hair, is it?
No, he just wore a hat.
He's wearing big hats.
He has a big hat guy.
He's wearing it backwards too, which looks funny. Where do you get a hat? I guess if you're
celebrity. He said to let him know he's got a big hat guy and he'll put you in contact with him.
Whoa, that's so fantastic. Is that like his thing? He does that all the time?
It's his like new thing, yeah. And now analysts are getting the big hat and doing a big hat joke thing and like, yeah. Do you think that's a better move or Kevin Holland's haircut?
No, Kevin Holland's haircut because you can't take the haircut off.
Okay.
You cannot take the haircut. But if it's him, like, what other haircut could you have, really?
Yeah, I get that's
true. He used to have that boring, like...
Do you want to know what he is with that haircut? What? He's a trailblazer.
Oh, boy. We should just do the Costanza and just walk off the podcast on a high note there. But there's my son and wife are marathoning through all the Seinfelds, so you're going to get a lot of Seinfeld references on the podcast going forward, probably, because they keep reminding me of all the amazing episodes. So, all right. So last night was I wouldn't say amazing for me. I went 9-5, which most people would love to go 9-5, but not me, Dan. I expect more. I won $6.61. Woo-hoo. Thanks to
just for the record, don't bet $100 on every fight.
Exactly. Thompson and Rowe came through. I hit two dogs. Gumby as well hit two dogs. He had Dolidze and Thompson. Wasn't enough to get him out of the red. He lost $251, went 7-7. There's not still time, Dan. You're down $3,000 with 2 events to go in the year. So
it could be if I hit all dogs.
It's true. Well, how many dogs won last night?
If I picked them all one, right last week,
2, 3, I'm counting 4
big ones,
5, 6, 7 dogs. So half of the event, which is way more. Usually it's a third of the event you get a dog through statistically. So hopefully people enjoy me counting on air. That's what you're here for. On the year, I'm 65%. Gumby's 59%. I'm down $478. There could still be time for me. Mark D. Casey wrecked my good vibes last night and sent me into a little three-fight spiral there. So Gumby's down 3,000, as I said. Recommended plays. We really don't want to talk about it. Gumby hit the lead Z. Knockout prop. Hopefully you guys were in on that one. I hit JSP on the money line. I missed 2 money line fights. Not good. So I'm down $45 now. This is the first time I think maybe starting of the year I might have been down, but yeah, the first time I've been down. So we may have to switch things up. We were having a very rare off-air planning meeting before this, and maybe we'll switch things up in the new year, make it more interesting. And because it's embarrassing if recommended plays hit, and Gumby doesn't play this recommended plays game right anyhow. He puts in parlays and props, and he gets all crazy. He can't help himself. So and we miss the Hungry Man Jong Super Fan parlay. Apparently Jong is very protective of that parlay. You saw in the
You thought about renaming it, and
Dredney wanted to get in on it, and Jong very quickly clap back and said, kids. So maybe next year you can do a Hungry Man Jong, and I'll do some kind of Dredney parlay, and we'll see how it goes. But he had You had both winners, so they just the means of them winning, you do not have correct. Yeah, Marshall via sub, he won via knockout. Wonderboy via decision, and he improbably won via TKO. So still good picks because both men won, and they were probably the most reasonable ways for them to win were the ways that you predicted. So I'll still give you your kudos for that. So we don't have a week off, do we? We have pay-per-view, if you want to call it that, when with Jared Gordon in the co-main event. Does that still qualify as a pay-per-view?
You know, I think this pay-per-view is good.
All right, well, let's go down the card quickly. Yeah. Jan Blachowicz versus Magomed Ankalaev for the newly vacated light heavyweight championship. Paddy Pimblett versus Jared Gordon in the co-main event, the aforementioned. Then we got Robbie Lawler, Santiago Ponzinibbio, Darren Till, we'll see if he shows up, versus Trykus Duplessis, Bryce Mitchell versus Ilya Topuria. Maybe that fight's the best one on the card, other than the main card.
That one in the main event, obviously.
Yeah, other than the main event, I was going to say. Yeah. And then prelims, Jarzinho Rosenstrike versus Chris Daukaus. Raul Rosas Jr. makes his debut now that he's finally 18. He's making his pro debut. I'm not sure if they waited till he was 18, but I'm sure that didn't hurt. Versus Jay Perrin, the Canadian, right? Yeah, he's Canadian.
Nope.
No,
man. Lowell, Massachusetts.
Your area. That must be why. That must be why I was thinking. Edmund Shahbazian versus Dolce Lugiambula. Chris Curtis versus Joaquin Buckley. Oh, there we go. That's the best part. The best fight in the prelims. The best fight in the whole card, probably. For fun, at least. Billy Quarantillo. This is the early prelims now. Billy Quarantillo versus Alexander Hernandez. Ovince St. Preux versus Anthony Trocoli. Was he a Contender Series guy?
I recognize the name. Yes. Okay. Antonio Trocoli. Yes, I believe so. Movado. He's the one who won in like really quick fashion against a really terrible opponent.
This week.
But it was he was like two or three years ago he was on Contender Series. Okay. I think he popped for something and they took that one away.
Interesting. All right, then we got TJ Brown, Eric Silva, Vinicius Salvador, Daniel Da Silva, and Cameron Simon versus Stephen Koslow. So yeah, pretty decent card. If I don't know if I would be paying $70 for it, but
do you know? So I know you just ran it down. Stephen Koslow going to be the newest addition to the UFC. He's a late replacement. Do you know what Stephen Koslow's nickname is?
No, I assume it's a good one.
It's Bam Bam. It's Obi-Wan Shinobi the Pillow.
And why? I think I'd actually heard that. But why?
I have no idea.
Well, so he's going to be on the Top Turtle podcast this week, hopefully.
I would love to ask him about that, but unfortunately, no. The Top Turtle MMA podcast this week will have I already had Downtown TJ Brown on it. It has Billy Quarantillo, not T.O., Billy Quarantillo in Jay Perrin.
All right, there you go. This is one of our epically long episodes. Well, there is a lot to recap last night. Thompson versus Holland was a memorable event. So pay-per-view, we'll be breaking down prelims on Wednesday, main card on Thursday as per usual. But we'll be back in your ears tomorrow, Monday. Breaking Gumby's going to break down his favorite promotion in the world, Bellator. We're going to give you picks for a Bellator event, which is coming up this week as well. So. We'll until that time, or actually at all times, make sure you get in the Discord and chat with us, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. A lot of new names and faces popping up in there last night, which was nice to see. The more, the merrier. SGPN MMA is the Twitter handle. Gumby runs for us. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. Told you about moneymma.substack.com. Subscribe there. At the very least, subscribe so you can play in my free pick'em contest I run for every UFC event, or pretty much every UFC event. And read all our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We cover every sport underneath the sun. So we'll be back, like I said, back tomorrow with the Bellator event. Until that time, I will remain your boy, Jeff Fox. Gumby will remain the Darce Knight, Gumby Vreeland, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.